Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. We are going to talk to the director of Dwayne Wade, Life Unexpected. Bobby Mattel is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour today. So
cool. We'll
dive deep into the Wade documentary.
Because when you have these documentaries, understand there is hours and hours hours of footage.
Yeah,
and they cut it down.
I couldn't even imagine how much that. You know, it was funny. I thought it was only an hour. So when I was when I was getting to the end of the hour, and I was like, "Oh, we have so much to go." I was like, "Oh, it's 2 hours." It was like an extra present. It was delightful.
And I wonder, like, you know, was Dwayne Wade? I mean, I'm sure this gentleman can answer the question when he comes on with us. But was Dwayne Wade all this time throughout his entire career planning this documentary? Because how does he have footage of him watching the Decision special? You know, like, how does he have all this random footage?
Don't forget, Robbie, there was like talks that they had those film crews forever. Bosch too. Bosch had his own film crew following him during the whole free agency thing. I would have actually liked more of that. To get like the insight, because remember he took the second meeting with the Bulls and all that type of stuff. I would have liked to get more of that. It was almost like you had so much personal stuff to get through with Dwayne Wade that I think as a Heat fan, you would have wanted like more of the basketball stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like, look, over a 17 year career, you got to squeeze that because you have 37 years of life to go in as well. It's a tough ask because you're not really getting 2 hours. You're getting, 90 minutes probably because of commercials. But, you know, it was still great. It was still a lot of fun. I was captivated the entire time.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
He met with the Knicks.
The Knicks. I'm in a New York state of mind. Yeah, that's what they always say. He's coming to the Mecca, bro. Wade said he was in a New York state of mind, bro. Yeah, instead he just continues to kick your ass his entire career. I mean, who's just made mincemeat out of the Knicks more than Dwayne Wade? Game winners in the Garden. Beat you with... He beat you with hunting glasses on. Hunting glasses! You idiots! He saw the entire court in orange! And he whooped your ass, Knicks! Oh, so good. I love it. Danilo Gallinari making him bleed. Career high against the Knicks. I mean, he is... I mean, Dwayne Wade... I mean, they should just call him Daddy. That's what he should be. Put a statue outside of Madison Square Garden. But instead of putting Dwayne Wade as the inscription there, just put Daddy. Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Please ignore the top text, Leroy. Don't talk about that.
You know that's coming. Mm-mm. I'm just waiting for it. Folks, you know that's coming.
I don't want to talk about that.
I know you don't.
I don't want to talk about that.
I don't know you. I know you don't.
Oh, by the way, I just want it should be pointed out, though, that, I mean, the Panthers didn't play him on Saturday against the Knights, and they lost. Just saying.
I thought we were going to wait for this.
No.
But let's go. Hey, somebody pulled a guy off the Zamboni only gave up two goals.
This story has been so sensationalized because they make it seem like the creepy guy from Happy Gilmore was waltzing around cleaning that. And it's like, Hey, man, you ever played goalie?
No, they know he could play goalie. That's why he was the emergency goalie.
All right, but he wasn't driving the Zamboni that
day.
Hey, by the way. He's driven a Zamboni before.
By the way, is there any other sport that could do that? The emergency guy is not actually
I think it's a rule.
Right, that you have an emergency goalie?
Yeah.
That you just keep around?
You know who the emergency catcher was back in the day for the Marlins? Mike Mordecai. Morty.
But he was on the team.
He was.
That's like we have a you ought to see some of the emergency quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what to tell you, man. Good for the guy. Great story. And, you know, it's been par. Today is the trade deadline for the Panthers. Will they be buyers or sellers?
They're trying to sell. Sell.
What if they trade Bobrovsky?
I don't think that's possible.
No, what? Yeah. Wait. Who else has signed up for 4 goals a game?
You would need a goalie to like tear an Achilles for a team that's like on the doorstep.
I mean, no, not even that. You would like I don't know how hockey trades work, but you probably have to pay $69 million in that contract.
Well, he's already done with like his first year. I mean, you probably have to spend like $50 million.
Okay.
I mean, the two other goalies for Carolina, they're not healthy yet. I mean, they could still use a goalie.
Are they in the mix?
They have former Panthers goalie. They have Reimer.
Jeez.
What else? What do you got?
All right, so yeah, it was a Wade weekend this past weekend.
Wade weekend, it was awesome.
And Dwayne Wade, despite you know his still bitterness towards Pat Riley, he did mention Pat Riley in his speech.
He's not bitter towards Pat. Like he's bitter that of what happened. He still loves Pat Riley.
He was throwing some curses out there, like it was like it happened yesterday.
All right, You know what?
He's not bitter. You can still love a guy and appreciate a guy and whatever.
Still be mad at what he did.
And be mad about it. But you can be really mad.
You can be really mad.
And guess what? 20 years from now.
But can Riley be really sorry? It sounded like he was really sorry in the movie.
Who cares if you're sorry 2 years later? I'm going to be honest with you. Who cares?
I mean, the Nuggets came out with $52 million. Hey, wake up, Pat Riley. I'm sorry.
No, let's be honest. At some point, right? Are you sorry because you're sorry, or are you sorry because it looks bad?
I think he's sorry because he's sorry.
All right.
I think he's sorry because he's sorry.
Okay.
Tyler Johnson.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Why would you not believe it?
I don't believe it.
Everybody loves this
no,
man.
No, no, no. Here's what. See? There you go.
Everybody does.
You're doing it.
Hold on.
You're doing
Hold
it.
Hold on.
You're doing it.
Tim Hardaway? Trade away Tim Hardaway.
You're
came
doing.
Back. He told Glenn Rice he wasn't going to trade him. Where's Glenn Rice now? Working with the organization. Everyone loves Riles.
And nobody's worn Glenn Rice's number since
he got traded. And guess what? And because of that, that's why he thought what he did with D Wade would be fine. He'll get over it. That's not sorry.
Well, but he knows that he didn't get over it. That's why he.
Oh, so now that's why he's sorry.
He said it in his movie
again.
All right, we'll ask the director.
You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on. We'll ask.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Hold on.
You just made my point for me.
No,
you did.
How?
Because, listen, Riley has all these situations where the guys have gotten over it.
Yep.
And he's brought them back, and they're like, fine. See, they'll get over it. He's only sorry with D Wade because he didn't get over it, and it backfired.
I don't think that's true. First of all, we don't know that he.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't. But guess what?
What? God, I want you to get new headphones.
Of all the situations.
You're plugging that into the side.
Don't try to deflect.
It's impossible not to.
Of all the situations, right?
This effed up. He effed up. Riley effed up.
Wait, he went in. He screwed up because he thought it would be just like any other transaction where he traded a guy. He'll get over it. And D-Wade didn't. And you went too far with it. And you played that game with the wrong person.
He did get over it.
No, he didn't.
He came back to the Heat.
He didn't get over it. He's never going to get over that. Dude, franchise guy got just.
$10 million.
You don't think him and Riles went and had a meatball sub after this and just said.
I'm more than sure.
You don't think they love each other?
Sure. I'm more than sure. Yes. I'm more than sure. They do love each other.
Listen.
Doesn't mean he's going to ever forget.
They had Genie Knight.
They had Genie Knight. They were. Leroy. They were in the. He taught him how to cut a rug. We had him. Did you not hear Riley say, I cut a rug back in my day?
Yeah. Okay.
Taught him the two step.
Okay.
Now.
You can put whatever twist you want on it.
Leroy.
It backfired.
Leroy. Look at this.
He tried to treat Wade like every other star he had here.
Which he shouldn't have done.
And it backfired.
Now, what about this, though? Look at this video from the weekend. Oh, where Riley gives him the 15 strong card. I mean, look at that hug. Look at them. They're just, oh.
Yeah, okay.
Misty-eyed.
Yep. You, tears. Boo-hoo. Oh. Ha-ha. Really appreciate it. Yeah. You
think,
guess what?
You think Wade is saying, is this a credit card for $25 million?
Right. Exactly.
All right, here's a Dwayne Wade on Pat Riley during his speech on Saturday night.
Now it's time for that old coach again, Pat Riley.
I love you.
Pat's extraordinary basketball knowledge, integrity, and passion for the game has helped this organization achieve greatness. Pat teaches each of us in this organization the importance of accountability, first to ourselves and then to each teammate. Pat's philosophy of being the hardest working, best conditioned, most professional, toughest, meanest, nastiest team in the NBA is the mantra I lived by for 16 years and the mantra I will continue to live by in my second act.
He's going to live by his mantra. He's got to be over it. You don't live by somebody's mantra if you're still mad at them, Leroy. That's just silly.
Okay.
And we know what Riley's mantra is. Do
look,
we not know?
Here.
It's, hold on. We know the mantra is, there are tons of obstacles. Well, there are none of them, but there are some. And none.
Here's what I'll say about that.
There's no obstacles.
You're trying to mix.
Talked over the mantra.
You're trying to mix all these situations as far as how we should view all of them. And I would say everything he said was accurate as far as the demands that Pat Riley and his organization put on the players to be in shape,
mm-hmm.
to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
effort,
yep.
defense.
Yep.
All those things are great. And yep. all those things have made him a better person, a better basketball player. And they got the most out of him. Okay? All those things are accurate.
Yes.
Still don't mean that he didn't get screwed big time.
He did.
With the position and the status that he held in the organization. And so from that standpoint, regardless of what he feels about his time here, right? What happened when he left and how it happened, I wouldn't.
You didn't even have the cap space for Kevin Durant, even if Dwayne Wade was not on the team.
What are you talking about?
Yes, they did.
Wait,
what are you talking about?
Hey, you ready for this? You ready for this? Chew on this. How do you feel about D-Wade?
I love him.
Love D-Wade.
I love him.
They chose to max out Hassan Whiteside.
I don't want to talk about this. I know. It was...
Okay.
Look.
Do you forget about stuff like that?
I'm a forgiving guy.
What?
I'm a forgiving guy.
How the hell
am I supposed to be mad at Pat Riley for life?
How the hell you think Team Petty was born? It wasn't born by this
I'm
forgiving
not mad at
guy
LeBron anymore. I forgive.
Or how about Mickey Arison? He didn't fight to keep Dwayne Wade, but when the Nets offered that deal to Tyler Johnson, you don't want to poach any of my players, he brought Tyler Johnson back.
He literally stepped in the negotiation that first time and saved him.
That was a Fugazi meeting. He was just on the way to his cruise that he was on. He was just there saying, "Hey, what's up, Dwayne? I gotta go back on my boat."
What are we doing?
And then he tweeted like everything was fine.
We're gonna take. We're going to take this past weekend of love and heat culture, and you guys are going to talk about something that happened a few years ago that got fixed in the most beautiful way. He came back. He wore the Vice jersey, hitting game winner after game winner. It was a beautiful thing. Father Prime. Those was good times.
We still had to watch the year of Chicago and even worse, the half year of Cleveland.
Did you get Eric Spoelstra? You got to get Eric Spoelstra from Friday night, because this was one of my favorite moments of the night. So Eric Spoelstra gets up on stage and he's talking about, you know, how much he loves Wade, and then he talks about how the funny thing about it was he was talking about the relationship when they first, you know, Big Three era, and when he first became head coach, not great, kind of contentious. There was even a point where he had to bring Wade into his office and be like, "Hey man, get my back a little bit more, like, you know, so I can coach Jermaine O'Neal. Let's go." But when he left, he's like, that's when they became friends. And this is Eric Spoelstra with a beautiful shot at the city of Cleveland. Mwah.
And that's why later on, you know, after the championships, and then when he signed in Chicago, I texted him right away. I was like, that just doesn't look right. I can't even envision you in a Chicago Bulls jersey. But then when, yeah, right? It just looked horrible. All right.
That could.
And then it only got worse.
Yeah.
Going to Cleveland. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You can go anywhere. We'll buy your ticket. Go to L.A. You can't go to Cleveland.
God, there's nothing. Like, Wade in a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey is one of the most disgusting things ever.
Yep.
Don't forget he was bought out there, too. He chose to go there. That was the only time.
Well, yeah. And that was
the only time I was mad at him.
Yeah, and he gave back all the money he gained by leaving the Heat. Like, he basically left the Heat for nothing once he agreed to that buyout.
It got to the point where, look, we all got a little petty, right?
Mm.
And then that's what that became.
Stupid. You remember they did the interview, Rachel Nichols, LeBron, and Wade, and they called them each other peanut butter and jelly. I'm like, this ain't going to work the same. They did gloss over that, too.
Hey.
It was kind of like, this was a documentary. It was like, and he went to Cleveland. Okay, now on to the next thing.
Hey, you know what's amazing?
Dwayne was a zombie in Cleveland the whole time.
Like, I was a zombie.
Here's our show in a nutshell.
I'm like, you want
leave it to Leroy or Cleroy to harp on some negative Miami history.
Yeah.
Tobin trying to explain why a booger on the Mona Lisa is acceptable. Like, nobody goes unscathed.
We had a shot at the perfect basketball reference page. One jersey number, all the seasons put together.
Oh, yeah. Man. Just...
And now you click basketball reference, you see Cleveland, you see Chicago, you see a number 9 in there. So stupid.
What else you got, Robbie?
All right. And Tyson Fury. We haven't talked about him enough.
Oh, Tyson Fury, Lord. New heavyweight champion of the world.
Hey. That.
Whooped his ass.
Whooped his ass.
Like, look. He wasn't wrong with what he was talking about.
I know.
What he was going to do. And he did it. And one of the things about this is when you watch boxing, the best boxer normally in these big time fights usually prevails because he'll always have some kind of game plan. His game plan is not haymakers.
That was such an impressive recraft of who he was, though. Like, because Tyson Fury, I mean, for those who haven't watched a lot of Tyson Fury doesn't make sense as a fighter. He is a 6'9 fat guy
that can move,
light on his feet, and is usually elusive and moving out. But to talk about to your point about his greatness that really showed out this fight was this dude left his trainer. He says, I'm going to completely recraft my style for this fight, and I'm going to walk down Deontay Wilder. I'm going to bully him because I'm 50 pounds heavier than him. I'm 3 inches taller than
him. I'm going to lean on him.
And I may not hit harder than him, but it doesn't mean that when I throw this fat body into it, it's not going to hurt. And it was a brilliant tactic because it gave Deontay Wilder no space to get off that monster right hand. And as we said, like, this is not a guy who has great boxing skill, but I have said this doesn't matter with Deontay because he's had his entire life he hasn't been the best boxer, and he's never lost a fight. So, Obviously, he's doing something correct. Whoa. And to be honest with you, I actually didn't think his boxing looked that bad because he was using the double jab. He was going to the body. It just didn't matter. It just wasn't affecting Tyson Fury. Well, you don't go into a fight with Deontay Wilder fearing his jab.
Here's what happened. When Tyson Fury kept charging, those jabs were on his back foot.
Yeah.
He had nothing into him.
Right.
So he was basically, you're taking one of the hardest hitting heavyweights to ever box, and you're taking the one skill, the one advantage he has by having him always on the run.
Right.
And so even when he made contact, it was no big deal.
And the other thing, too, is I don't know what – it was a weird thing because they were saying, like, they thought his eardrum got busted open. It turned out it was just a cut. But it's still – like, that can still mess up your equilibrium, even if you have a cut in your ear.
Not a cut. It has to be eardrum.
Well, he was bleeding from the ear profusely.
But he looked – like, after he got knocked down, it looked like a hard pusher just having
fun. It was very similar to AJ versus Ruiz. It was very similar to that, where AJ took that knockdown in the third round and really just never recovered.
Right.
Really never recovered. And I know Deontay hinted that something was wrong in his leg afterwards. He didn't talk to the media other than his interview in the ring, which he was super classy. And he did say something was wrong with his leg. We don't know what it is. So, you know, maybe he was fighting through something and he didn't want to harp on it too much, but... Tyson Fury is the man now. Like, that's that guy got.
So, what's the chance of him fighting Anthony Joshua?
Well, it depends. There's a rematch clause with Deontay Wilder.
So he's got 30 days.
Deontay has 30 days to decide whether or not he wants to rematch. And I would like, in an ideal world, I would like Deontay Wilder to go and kind of recover. He's had a very active time in boxing. Kind of recover, let some breathing room happen. And I always like when the rematch happens, especially when something like that happens, for there to be time.
Another fight in between it?
Yeah, but I can understand if you just got $25 million guaranteed. I don't know what that contract stipulates. Let's say it's the same thing. I can understand if you're Deontay Wilder being like, I'm not going to go fight Andy Ruiz for $7 million when right. I get, you know, I could fight Tyson Fury for $25 million. So,
well, no, yeah.
He's a prize fighter, so right. I can understand that. But if we're talking an ideal world, yeah, I would like to see, like, I would like to see somebody like Deontay Wilder go fight, you know, an Andy Ruiz, a Jarrell Miller, somebody like that, and then Tyson Fury go fight Anthony Joshua for the undisputed title. But here's the thing. I come out of that saying, you don't need to tell me who the undisputed champ is or who has the belts. The undisputed champ to me right now is Tyson Fury. That's
absolutely.
It. That's that.
Absolutely.
That's that. Because those two, if you want to talk about how people looked in a rematch, what Tyson Fury did compared to what Anthony Joshua did is it's night and day. It's not even close. And to me, Tyson Fury is the man. He was the man. He never got to defend his title, and that was him reclaiming his throne yesterday.
But that's basically what happened. He didn't lose his title. He had it stripped.
He had it stripped.
So from that standpoint, when you look at all the other guys holding these belts, they were given to you.
Yep.
And so how.
Well, Deontay won his piece away, but he defended it 10 times. Like, he was a great champion, but to me, Deontay was the man.
Right.
Deontay was the man, and Tyson beat the man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing but props for that. It's so weird that he's just like, you know what? I'm big. I'm gonna go fight like a big guy.
Because usually he was 250, his last fight, around 250. And he gained weight. And usually when you gain weight, you're thinking, uh-oh, Ruiz, you know, looking a little chunky. But no, he actually, that was the game plan.
Somebody says, I'll tell you what was wrong with his leg. He skipped leg day.
No, he does have some. Wait, come on, man. Can we, listen, just imagine if Ruiz and Fury were the champions. Bad bodies.
I love it.
I mean, every little fat kid all over the world goes start working on his boxing skills.
Yep. What else you got?
I've never seen a guy that big, that nimble, and that quick, and that big be able to make somebody miss. Like, the first fight, he got caught a couple of times, but he did a lot of making Deontay miss.
Right, but that's what's impressive to me, is that he had a lot of success in the first fight. A lot of people thought that he won 10 out of 12 rounds. You know, maybe you have it 8-4, and you did think that the knockdowns made it that close. But whatever, he won the majority of the rounds,
right?
So he had a lot of success in that fight. But he is such a smart fighter to say, I'm not gonna leave the margin for error of I get caught because I mess up being cute. I'm gonna go bully him, and that's a pretty. That's a brave tactic, and it's a smart tactic to go and completely recraft yourself in a guy who hits that hard. But he thought to himself, look, I know how he gets to that one weapon now. I'm going to take it away.
That was my question. I'm going to bully him. You think he felt that way? Because, look, he got blasted a couple times in the first fight. And guess what? He goes, I got up from everything he has. I'm going to go get him.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, he beat it by half a second. Like he still got knocked out. Like it was still a monstrous hit. So you definitely had to make some adjustments, because
right.
even if he fought as perfect a fight as he did in the first fight, he still was flat on his back. And so he for him to take away that, I mean, just shows how good he is. And you know, a lot of people are saying, well, they think AJ is a better matchup for him. I don't think so, man. I don't. I just think this is the guy right now.
Do you think who's a better boxer, Joshua or Wilder?
Joshua's a better boxer. He was an Olympic gold medalist, but he's not a perfect boxer. He's very chinny. I mean, we've seen him get rocked a lot. That's the first time we've ever seen Deontay hit like that.
Right.
You know?
Oh.
Anthony Joshua gets probably rocked once a fight.
Really?
Like, once a fight, he's got one where he's like, whoa. So, I don't know, man. It's I like Tyson Fury's quote afterwards where he goes, not bad for an old fat guy that can't hit. Yeah. When we come back, we'll hear Tyson Fury serenade us after he won the fight. And also, I still need to know the answer to one of the weirdest things in that fight. Plus, we'll get more back into to Wade Weekend back after this.
I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widow bride. Something touched me deep inside the day. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
Every time the levee and the levee was dry,
them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. What? This'll be the day that I die. Now, did you believe in rock and roll? Can you think, save your mother's soul? And can you teach me how to dance? Real slow. Well, I know that I'm in love with you, cause I saw you dancing in the gym. We both kicked off our shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. Oh, I punk and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. See, I knew I was out of luck the day the music died.
Always tough when you lose and then the guy sings at you. I mean, that's just such an extra level to the ass kicking.
Not really. Yeah. Because it depends on who it is.
Well, let me tell you something.
But it does.
Let me tell you something. Here was the worst part about it. I still don't have an answer to this, Leroy. Somebody needs to tell me. Why the hell did Tyson Fury lick him?
He didn't lick him.
He licked him.
He didn't lick him. He just stuck his tongue out.
He licked him.
He didn't put his tongue
out. He licked him. I saw it.
He didn't lick him.
I saw it.
It was close, but he didn't lick him. Dude, stop. That's nasty.
He licked him.
He didn't.
Is it because you don't want to believe he licked him?
No, because he didn't.
Robbie, what do you think? Lick or no lick?
Oh, that was a definite lick.
That was a lick,
no,
bro.
No, it wasn't.
That was like, dude.
No, it wasn't.
You might as well call Deontay Wilder a lollipop because that was a lick. He licked him. And I know Joe Tess was like, he said that he wanted to taste blood, and now he just did. I was like, whoa, did he say that?
Yes.
I mean, that is gross, dude. That is gross. I tell you one thing. You know that Deontay Wilder was exhausted because he licked him and just couldn't do nothing about it.
Hey, there's something about getting your ass kicked and get mad and knowing there ain't a damn thing you could do about it.
Tough.
Now, I'm kind of glad that his corner threw the towel in.
Yes.
It's his first loss.
His assistant trainer did.
His assistant trainer. It's his first loss. And secondly, you can lose a fight so bad that nobody wants to see the rematch. You see what I mean?
Yep.
Because he was falling all over the ground with the slightest of punches at that point.
Yeah.
And he wasn't fighting back.
And he was – look, I know he says that he wants to go out on a shield and stuff like that. And look – Deontay Wilder, he's 34 years old. He's just starting to make this really good money. And I got to tell you right now, I don't care about him losing. And people are going to talk about his boxing acumen and all that type of stuff. That dude, he's the one guy right now in the sport. I don't care who he fights. I'm going to tune in.
Right.
Because I might see a crazy-ass knockout.
Right.
That's what I want to see. So I, too, am happy that his assistant trainer threw in the towel. I know that his head trainer says that he told him not to, like they gave each other the look, but his decision trainer was an Olympian, like he was a boxer, and right. So for him to have that kind of empathy and throw in the towel, and I know people are like, oh, you didn't have the authority to do that. Look, damage is done, my friend. A towel is a towel. The ref doesn't know where it's coming from.
Hey, listen to
if he doesn't damage is done, if he doesn't have the authority to do that, you don't give him a towel.
Right. Listening to Fury sing makes me want to step into the ring and try to whoop his ass.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. Are you crazy?
Good luck.
Are you crazy? See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Folks, look, watch him fight, and you watch some of these box fight, you think, oh, psh, I should have been a boxer. No, dude.
Can't wait for his next fight just to hear what the next song is.
Yeah, he's done Aerosmith, Don't Want to Miss a Thing, a couple times, and now he has done this.
I would appreciate it, though. Here, my only complaint of the night, besides the garbage
undercard,
right?
Undercard.
Is this. Do not spend an hour getting these two fighters into the ring.
Oh, you didn't like the ring entrance? I knew that was coming.
Wait, first of all.
Well, this is why I knew. So here's, can I tell you? This is why I knew I had a, I was scrambling a little bit. Because as I'm walking out the arena, because it was Dwayne Wade night, right? Scrambling out of the arena. I'm talking to somebody and they're like, where are you going to go watch the fight? And I'm trying to think to myself, because I know the way this night is going. I'm like, I'm going to have like 30 minutes. 30 minutes just leaving the arena from a Dwayne Wade night. I know traffic is going to be an effing disaster. Okay, no matter what. Because yeah, I'll tell you, even after I leave these locker rooms, sometimes you'll get a 95. It's shut down. You know, at that point, half hour, I can't risk going to like the Cheetah, which I would have loved to go to, or somewhere like that, or like, you know, people were talking about other establishments to go to. The only place I knew guaranteed was showing it was the Hard Rock Miami at Bayside. They had a $10 cover charge. But at that point, I'm like, I don't know if they're sold out. I don't know what the deal is.
Gonna be standing.
This is tough sledding. So I had to fork over the $80 and watch it on my iPhone. Yep. Right in the parking lot.
Oh.
Yep. Yep. Right on my phone.
Oh. And you paid just for that fight.
Just for that fight. Because I watched Gerald Washington versus Charles Martin. As I was walking out of the building, that fight was over. And so I'm like, all right. Were there anthems? I just assumed there were anthems. Did they do anthems?
They did both. They did both God Save the Queen and then the National Anthem.
So I knew there were going to be anthems.
They were quick, too. I got there
as soon as the ring walk started. I got the purchase done, and it was Tyson Fury getting carried out on a throne. And then, I don't know what Deontay Wilder was. Was he a transformer? What was that?
I don't know, but it looked mean.
Yep.
It looks like something Tyson would enter the ring in. Here's the deal. So because the entrance was so long, I start picking off its production.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the one chick on the left, she was struggling. They were trying to smile, right? She was looking around like, any of you other ladies lifting this thing? It was brutal.
Somebody goes, Tubman is definitely expensing it. Oh, yeah. Galen, parking was expensive that night at the arena, just so you know. Just so you know.
Wink.
All right, Dwayne Wade, let's get back into a little bit of D-Wade night. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of fun sound from that night. We'll recap and we'll get back into more into that coming up next. Can you feel the heat?
This is old school right here.
Oh, clap your hands.
Can I just tell you, the Heat have had two or three decent songs.
Yep.
Right? The Marlins can't get one.
You didn't like
Nope.
You didn't like Marlins Will Soar?
Creed.
Nope.
Let's play ball. Stop. It's game day.
The only person that liked that is Zazzla.
Definitely, because Pearl Jam and Scott Stapp, the samesies. Samesies. We were talking during the break. So Friday night, I loved Friday night. Friday night was a lot of fun.
You get it, Mr. Zamboni guy. You get it. 42-year-old David Ayers.
Enough with the Zamboni guy.
42 years old. I wonder how much he got paid for that.
Oh, you got like $500.
$500 to only give up two goals. We paid $70 million for a game. Now, let's do the math. Do the math. You want to go pay $500?
I don't want to do the math.
$500 or $70 million? Sign him to a deal.
No.
He can only play once a week, but that's fine. He's 42.
You think if you just stuck him in there regularly, he'd do that?
Oh, so you think... Well, we know what he's not going to do.
What?
Give up four a game.
He gave up two in his first two shots.
Yeah, He had to play
hockey for a while. Give him a break.
You want him to limber up a little bit?
Yeah, he probably had to do some more stretching.
I really liked Friday Night with the Miami Heat where they did the flashback event. That thing turned into a comedy roast.
How many people went?
I don't know.
It looked packed.
There was nobody in the upper deck, really.
Okay, so probably 10.
But it was all the lower bowl seemed like it was
9,000, 10,000?
Yeah, I would say something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. But there were a couple parts that I really, really loved. But the one I was a little worried about, so they did, basically it was like, this is your life, chapters of his basketball career. And they get to the 06 season, and Shaq wasn't there, but they bring up Zoe. And Zoe was getting the business from Udonis Haslem and Dwayne Wade. And they were all laughing, and everybody's laughing. And, you know, Alonzo's like, ha, 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 ha.
I'm a fun guy.
When did this turn into
a... You guys don't know me, you know, but I have an amazing sense of humor, you know. You just don't see that side of me too often.
And so. I talked to Udonis Haslem. Listen, I talked to him beforehand. He's an intense man. Like, I'm still like, when I've interviewed a bunch of people, but I talked to Alonzo beforehand. He's just like, man, this dude is intense in life. His voice is intense. He's deep thoughts on everything. He just gives you thoughtful. I don't think he liked them roasting on him.
No.
He was having a good time. Like, he was out there dancing to Rick Ross. He looked like a good he was the only guy dancing to Rick Ross. The Rick Ross performance was kind of weird. Nobody was dancing to Rick Ross. A lot of fuddy-duddies in the crowd. That's what happens when you bring sponsors to an event. Sometimes they're not there to get loose with Rick Ross. But Alonzo was. But when they're making fun of him and they're making the jokes, it's just like, it's kind of like, you know, you just never quite know when you're going to say the thing that that gets him set off. I don't know, Leroy.
That's why you do it in a public. Hey, that's why you do it in a public surrounding.
Yep.
Right? That's why you do it there, because you know if he's getting mad, he ain't going to do nothing in front of all these people.
Right.
That's right.
Well, there was that. This was one of my favorite moments of the night, too. This was Udonis Haslem. They bring up Ray Allen. They do a great story time about the ropes. Ray Allen, you want to tell us, you know what? He told this great story about the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years back where the Sixers beat the Bucks, and he talked about those damn yellow ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I started thinking about those yellow ropes back from the Bucks Sixers series, and that's why I was so angry at them when they brought them out again. But the best part was Udonis Haslem saying, listen, if these Celtics want to go out there and they want to be crybabies, we got you, buddy. We got you.
All right, dude.
We thought Boston sent you over here to be a spy.
Yeah,
we didn't know.
What's going on? We was worried. But once we knew you was one of us, it was all love, baby. So if they got a problem with you, if they got a problem with you, they still got a problem with us then.
Right.
Whatever that is.
You're right.
Whatever they want to do.
And I have to say,
we old, D-Wade retired, CB retired. We got nothing to do but fight. So if they want to fight,
I know UD, he got all of our backs at all times, and I appreciate.
I love it.
He always want to fight. He always like,
we gonna fight?
Hey, what we gonna do?
He already cursed. So I mean,
let me tell you something. Who's their enforcer? Kendrick Perkins? You've been seeing Kendrick Perkins on television lately? Because say what you want about Udonis Haslem.
No, but he's a Heat fan.
I know. He does love the Heat. But,
right.
But you know, he's got to stand up for himself. That is such a sensitive group of guys, the 08 Celtics.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If LeBron is part of this,
mm-hmm.
is Perkins going to fight against LeBron? No.
Yeah, I don't think LeBron's going to be part of it, though. He's still in the prime of it. I don't think he's got time to Anchorman Rumble.
Oh, somebody has been, you don't dance to Rick Ross. You fire up a blunt.
Oh, really? So we were just all getting high?
No,
I'll tell you who was dancing to Rick Ross. Alonzo Mourning.
Right. So
he was doing the double fist pumps.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Wait. He was getting after it.
Wait.
He was getting after it, Leroy. He was almost, if you ever saw,
no, I don't know.
You see like an Irish guy who goes like this. He had the double fists up and he was kind of just doing the pump like this, almost like he was on the Stairmaster. What are those things called with a thing where you go like this?
The climbers.
Yeah, the climbers. He was that, but pause in, and he was like doing the pump. He was doing the pump to Rick Ross. People saw it. If you were there, tell me, 67974, tell me you didn't see the Alonzo Mourning pump. It was going down. I'm telling you. I'm telling you it was.
Well, I got a question. I'm sure. I can't believe Leroy. Leroy had missed a giant opportunity to slam Udonis Haslam, but he was hammered.
No, I'm not. Oh. No, that's not what I smacked.
I thought
about.
You were going to be like, why is he hammered? He has a game the next day.
And again, here's one of the few things, and I told Tobin, I said, like, I mean, you can't say D-Wade without UD or UD without D-Wade. And so.
You really can't.
From that standpoint, like, there's nothing to say. If I didn't like UD, there's no way in hell I make this much fun of him. That's a fact. That's the truth. Okay? So y'all like, y'all see every time I'm with him, I take a picture.
Minus one, Robbie.
What?
Excuse me.
Minus one.
For what?
You're justifying your behavior.
I'm not justifying.
You're justifying it. Can I hear from Goran Dragic? Goran Dragic, speaking of Rick Ross, when I was in the locker room, Leroy, I decided there was one person I needed to critique Dwayne Wade's rapping skill, and that person, of course, was Goran Dragic, and so I asked him what he thought of it, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it's I got traded from Phoenix.
Not that one, Robbie. Not that one. That was the one about Dwayne Wade and the phone call. I'll get to that one in a minute.
What did you think of having Dwayne on the Rick Ross track?
Yeah. It was cool. Dwayne surprised me. You know, he got some bar. He can rap. I didn't hear the OG so much though. he was more in the back. Yeah, but it was cool. Yeah.
Hold on. Did he try to say spit the bar?
No, he said he have bars. Can you play it again, Robbie? Play it again.
What did you think of having Dwayne on the Rick Ross track?
It was cool. Dwayne surprised me. You know, he got some bar. He can rap.
Can I just say, if I'm a rapper, right, the last person I want giving me validation is Gogi. right?
You don't know.
In all of his honesty, he almost made it sound worse. Like,
you know, he got some bar. He can rap.
And when they fired that song up yesterday in the documentary, all I can think about was Gogi saying, he have bars.
You know, he got some bar. He can rap.
I mean, he's the greatest. I love him so much.
See, look, disappointed the Peacock Pirate not bringing up the shade way through at Winslow.
I swear to God, you know me. I wouldn't miss an opportunity to jump. I don't remember that from the ceremony. I don't remember.
Well, you clarified what happened before. So this is why, if you put the whole thing together, but if you explain the first part, then the other parts are not anything bad.
People, Justice got pissed because I remember Dwayne said big pickup for the Heat and Iguodala. And I don't remember what, I think he put like smoke emojis or something like that. He put some type of emoji on D-Wade.
It was a shoulder shrug?
Nah, I don't think it was a shoulder shrug. I could find it. It wasn't a shoulder shrug, but he put like some kind of emoji. And then Dwayne afterwards, gave love to Justice Winslow. Justice Winslow and Dwayne Wade love each other, bro.
Right.
They love each other. That's his guy. So, yeah.
But you told me
he even retweeted. Like, somebody put this video of him giving love to Dwayne Wade. Justice Winslow tweeted legacy. All right.
But the mix-up was when D-Wade said or tweeted out that they wanted to get the Heat were glad to get Iguodala.
Right.
He did not know that Winslow was in that trade.
No.
And so that's why originally it sounded like he was throwing shade at Winslow.
Right. And it was probably safe to assume Winslow was going to be in a trade, but Dwayne doesn't know. You think Dwayne's going to know that immediately? Right.
Look, they're driving down D-Wade Boulevard.
Here's what it says. Yeah, it was great pickup by the Miami Heat, and he put shushes emojis. Like, shh.
Right.
You know, but then Dwayne, I know he tweeted some comments. So, yeah, I don't think there's beef there. And the Duke thing, like, there's always been in that Heat organization.
We have beef.
There's been a Duke versus Kentucky silent rivalry that's gone on because you have Riles, who's a Kentucky guy, and then you got Shane Battier and the Arisons, who are Duke guys. That's been a thing that's been in the Heat organization forever.
I think McRoberts ruined it for the Duke guys.
Probably. But It also doesn't help that Justice never played basketball, and Bam, Kentucky guy, he's been amazing.
And balling.
And Tyler Hero, he's a Kentucky guy, he's been amazing.
Best drip here.
So just keep that in mind when it comes to the Kentucky. Now, this was interesting if this rivalry is going to continue. So Dwayne Wade had his press conference, Leroy, after. He had his press conference after his number was raised to the rafters. Media's all gathered around. And I would describe this. This was a media setting where there was a lot of people in there in that press conference who aren't around the Heat, haven't been around the Heat in a lot. I don't see them very often. Mm-hmm. Not to like highfalutin, like, oh, I've been at every game or anything like that. But a lot of faces I didn't recognize. And this was a press conference. I mean, it was a love fest. Mm-hmm. And you ever see? You remember the old Saturday Night Live bit with Chris Farley and Paul McCartney, mm-hmm. where Chris Farley's like, "You remember when you wrote that song, 'Here Comes the Sun'? That was awesome." And so, like, all these questions to Dwayne were just like, "Dwayne, you remember when you won those championships for Miami? That was awesome." Like, that was basically all the questions,
right?
When did Bill Simmons show up to the press conference?
It's what they all sounded like, Robbie. They everybody was just basically telling Wade how awesome he was, and Wade was just kind of running with it and saying whatever he wanted. But you know what I've said about Dwayne Wade, right? Mm-hmm. I think one day he's going to be president of the Miami Heat. He's going to be the president of the Miami Heat, especially when Pat Riley retires. Right now, he's kind of shadow president. He's doing the side cruton, but I think he's going to come back in official capacity. I got one question in, Leroy, all right? One question. I need to know if Wade was coming home. Ever, if he was coming back.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And this is what old Wade had to say.
Talking about the next chapters and all that, I'm sure you have a lot of big plans. Does any of that, have you envisioned anything, coming back to the Heat in some kind of a role post-basketball once, some time has passed by?
I mean, I definitely talked about it. I definitely thought about it. If the right time and the right moment, presents itself where I'm wanted back and it's the right situation for me and my family and it's the right role for me, then of course I would do it. I mean, I'm happy to be, doing TNT right now because it keeps me close to the game. It keeps me at arm reach from the game, but it keeps me close. So if one day, if that's a part of my journey and a part of my path, then of course, sign me up. But right now I got other things I want to build and I want to do. I don't feel like the Heat going nowhere. I don't think the Harrison's going anywhere. So we'll have that conversation at a later date.
He's coming back, Leroy. He is coming back. President Wade, president of the Miami Heat.
I got to tell you.
Oh, so excited.
You.
Yeah. Oh, I.
You think.
What?
That I want to know,
yeah.
Personally,
yeah.
Why does Wade get to deal with that Tobin, and I have to deal with this Tobin?
That's Tobin who gets answers.
That's professional Tobin.
My get answers voice.
Why I got to get jackass Tobin?
I don't know. That's just what you're stuck.
Tomfoolery Tobin.
You wouldn't have fun doing a show with
Tomfoolery Tobin.
You wouldn't have fun doing a show.
Shenanigans
with Tobin.
Didn't want your impressions of the South Florida crowd tonight. It's been a while since you guys have been here.
You wouldn't have fun with that guy. I mean, if we did that show, it wouldn't be hijacked.
I would have kicked that guy's ass.
This is the thing, but people get so mad when they hear journalist Tobin.
Right.
When they hear journalist Tobin, they're like, what the F is this?
Right.
You want me to go out there and you wanted me to ask the question like this. You want to be like, Dwayne, when are you going to be back? That's what you guys want me to do. I'm going to get kicked out if I do that. I can't be a guy who gets a microphone at the Heat Arena, and I'm like, excuse me, Dwayne Wade. When you coming back, baby?
Hey, do it with me.
Hey, Tyler, do the baby goat thing. This is what you guys want me to do. You guys want me to go to the arena. You want my credential revoked. I'm trying to give you guys stuff, and you guys don't want me to give you stuff. You want me to give you nonsense.
Get the whale music playing in the speakers as you ask the question.
Oh, my God. I can't win with you people. Ridiculous. Coming back, though, baby. Now, when Riley retires, because I don't think he, as we've seen from the documentary,
yeah, still frosty.
Still frosty. So I think he's going to leave when Riley. Listen, Riley's going to be what, 75 next month? You know, after he gets Greek Freak, that's in 2 years, 77. It's time to roll off to Malibu, baby, and that's D Wade time. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.